And tonight, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 16. I'm not going to be long. That's the normal lie the preachers tell when they. But I'd appreciate you continue to pray for Cammie. She had a shunt put in her head, and sometimes they have to put a shunt in permanently to take care of the so you don't get too much fluid build up in your head. Well, now she's got some drainage out of where they opened her head, and it's draining out there somewhere. But anyway, if they put her on some medication today, but if that doesn't work, she's going to have to go back to Minnesota and get the permanent shunt put in. So the one that they had in, they took out. So now they're hoping that her body will take care of it. But if it doesn't, they put a shunt that go from the skull down into your stomach, I guess, somehow. But it's pretty amazing what they do. It's incredible what they do. But anyway, you pray for Cammie, and other than that, I mean, she's doing good. She's up and moving, and just feeling pretty good. But it's going to be a long haul, a lot of recovery. So anyway, Acts chapter 16, verse number 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Father, we ask you to please bless the service tonight. I pray, Lord, that Holy Spirit, you would take control of this service. And I pray that you would just meet every need. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would do the preaching. And I just pray you'd help us. I pray you'd bless the invitation to follow now. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach on the subject tonight of preaching. The one thing this world needs is preaching. The one thing this world doesn't want to hear is preaching. Now, if the world doesn't want to hear it, the world doesn't like it, that's what they need. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." We just witnessed preaching turned our nation. A lot of preaching has turned our nation. We have witnessed the church waking up before America went over the cliff. We were right at the falls and ready to go over, but the church woke up. And I believe with all my heart it's through prayer and preaching. I think that Capital Connection had a lot to do with, there's 1,000 to 1,500 independent Baptist preachers for the last 4 years that's been on top of this thing and preaching to their churches. We've got to start voting. We've got to start working, we've got to start caring for our country. I care for my children. I got a lot of grandkids, great grandbabies. I'm not willing to throw one of them under the bus for anyone. But we've got to. But again, I believe it's through preaching. Preaching will change a life. It will change the course of a nation. Preaching, it's a powerful, powerful thing. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." God called it foolishness. Preaching. The one thing the world doesn't want, don't preach at me. They don't want to hear it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:23, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." Yet this is what they need. "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Once you get saved, you look at preaching a whole lot different than you did before. Before I got saved, I didn't need preaching. I never heard any preaching. And then I walked in the Independent Baptist Church, and I thought, "No, what is this?" And he stood right in front and told everybody, "You're going to go to hell if you don't get saved." And I thought, I've never heard a preacher tell anyone you're going to die and go to hell. I've never heard a Christian say that. but preaching, it got my attention. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And the whole problem the world has with this thing we call preaching, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. I've had a lot of people, doctors or lawyers or, you know, professional type people, and they're, you know, they're like, I'm a doctor, you know, I'm a lawyer, you're a preacher. So we're kind of all up here. Well, no, they're way up here intellectually above me. You know, I'm down here, they're up here. But spiritually, they're way down here, and I'm way up here, because they don't understand. They can't understand. But yet, preaching is what they need. So when the world tells us, I don't want to hear it, we just clam up. And we change the subject, and we talk about cars or trucks or hunting or fishing or whatever. I had a sister, my youngest sister's husband died. And at the funeral, my older sister came to me and said, your younger sister doesn't want to hear anything you have to say about God or Jesus or the Bible or the church. She doesn't want to hear it. You say, well, what did you say? I said, okay. But during the service, my little sister was she lost it. She's trying to get in the casket with her husband. And my oldest sister said, Stan, go to her and comfort her. I said, Helen, I can't. I said, because I'm going to have to do what you told me not to do. There is no comfort other than the preaching of the cross. You know, and what was amazing, the husband that died, I had witnessed to him, and I believe the man got saved when I was talking to him on the phone. You know, he had a bunch of lawyers and doctors in his hospital room, and he said, I want everybody to leave. I want to talk to Stan for a minute. And I went through the plan of salvation, and he said, I accept that, or yes, sir, I am. The preaching of the cross, when there's no preaching, when there's no Bible, when there's no Jesus, there's no hope. There's no hope. America has no hope. No hope whatsoever. I've preached in a lot of churches, and it's like this is like I'm pouring water on the back of a duck. And I'm talking about the urgency that is here now for us as God's people to get right and start doing what is right. And God has blessed us with this nation we call America, and we need to start standing up for it. But I've been in a few places where it just looked like that was almost rubbing them the wrong way. And I said, well, let America go to hell. You're not going to do anything about it. If we're not going to wake up, America's going to go to hell. It's on the hood of the vet on the inside. Every nation that forgets God's going to be turned into hell, including America. But then all of a sudden it's like I hit them in the face with the cold water. And they say, oh, no, we don't want that. And then they're on the altar. Next thing you know, they're weeping and crying. God is beginning to use them. But this thing of preaching, the Apostle Paul got onto it, and it was good. Isaiah said in Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes and oil of gladness for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, they shall rise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Listen, all these generations that are coming behind us, if they have any hope, it's going to be because of the preaching we left behind. it's got to be, we've got to raise up young preachers. We've got to start praying. Lord, give us some young men. Lord, put your spirit in some of these young fellows and help us to do what we can. I think so much about the little pulpit that we had to train up a child in the way he should go. And Daniel, I've got a picture in one of my Bibles of Daniel standing behind that pulpit, and it was his size, Daniel McGovern. And now Daniel's a man of God. He's grown up, and we've had a lot of Caleb McCullough. I had one of him. I remember he came and he was preaching. His mom made him out some like little 3x5 cards with drawings on them. I pray. You ought to pray too. Why don't you pray? He'd preach on prayer. And then she had a picture of money in his hand or something held out. And he said, we ought to give to God. We ought to tithe and we ought to do all this stuff. Just little tiny kids. Now listen. Train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. And listen, when they're old, they're going to need it. They're going to need it. Train them to be preachers. Preaching has a purpose. Good tidings to the poor. Good tidings for whosoever will. Bind up the heel and heal the brokenhearted. This world is hurting. Everywhere I go, this world is hurting. Pray for my mom. Pray for my daughter. Pray for my son. Dad's got cancer. Just on and on and on. My boy's in jail. My daughter got shot and killed. It's everywhere. But this is why preaching is so important. To free those that are bound by their sin. Preaching warns people of God's coming, of God's wrath. God is coming back, and God is angry with this earth. And God is going to fix it. And he's not coming back. He's not going to put a Band-Aid on it. He's going to fix it. And a lot of people are going to die. The vengeance of God. Listen, I don't even want to think about the vengeance of God, other than it's my job as a preacher to warn people of the vengeance of God that's coming. We need to start taking our God serious. And God has told preachers, I want you to warn these people. Ezekiel 33:7, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Could you imagine if someone said, Pastor Roach is coming to your house, and he said, you warned them from me. What's he going to do? I don't know. Well, maybe we ought to call the police. Warn them from... That almost sounds like a threat. God said, you warned them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Being a Christian has a responsibility with it. And that responsibility is witnessing, not just Sunday afternoon. All throughout the week, we should have the Word of God on us, have gospel tracts. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. We were in Kingwood, West Virginia. They wanted us to put the vet in the Veterans Day parade in Grafton. And then he said, Thursday, would we go to the high school and talk to the kids? I said, I'd love to talk to the kids. Well, we got up there, there's 1,600 students in that school. And it's, you can't just go into high school and start passing out gospel tracts, and I understand that. And I don't want to get this honor guard from Grafton thrown out because they invited me to go there. So I got the vet track and the mercenary missionary track and went and gave them to the principal. And I said, I'd like to pass these out if it's okay. And this lady ran him down and showed them to him. And she came back and handed them to me and said, he said, pass them out. So there's an open door now, 1,600 teenagers. 1,600. And when we went in the gym, listen, I've never been in a public high school like that. I've never been in a public school like that, period. Those are the most respectful young people I've ever been around. I never heard anyone that didn't say, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I mean, they were the politest kids. I mean, I was so impressed. I told the principal, I said, you know, the state of West Virginia ought to pattern all their schools after this one. I said, this is just amazing. And when we went in, they had all the veterans, and all the Vietnam veterans were standing out in this foyer. And they have this big ROTC program there. And they had all these kids. They had a rifle team. They come in and they're spinning their rifles and marching and I mean, just really good. But anyway, when we went in, there was a line from me to Brother Lowe of young men on both sides, and they had their swords up in the air. And then all the veterans walked in under these swords. And all those kids, 1,600 kids in there, they stood clapping and thank God for veterans, and Vietnam veterans were crying. Yeah, I said, you know, these kids gave the Vietnam veterans a welcome that we didn't get when we came back from Vietnam. I mean, it was so good. I was so impressed. And come into the public school and give all 1,600 of our kids. And the principal made them all, when you go out, you go through those two doors, and that vet's parked right there. And everybody go around the vet. Don't touch it. Just go around. I want you to see it all. And we're out there just waiting. I mean, just... But it was an open door. It was an open door. Listen, I delivered my soul from the blood of those kids. Their blood's not on my hands. But because we had an open door. And listen, when you get so many times, you know, I'm glad that I stepped through that door. On last Father's Day, a guy invited me up to Talkeetna to a militia meeting. And he wanted me to, what do you call that? He wanted me to sermonize him. And I said, sure. I said, what do you want me to sermonize about? And he said, why is America in the mess it's in? And what can we do to get out of it? What can we do to help our country? And yes, sir, I'll sermonize you. I'll be there. So I went up and I sermonized, and three men and one woman got saved. Now, I had several people say, you're actually going to go there? Yes, I'm going to go there. Yeah, it's a militia. They've all got guns. I said, I know that. I do too. And they don't bother me. I won't bother them. But anyway, yes, three men and a lady got saved. Now, I don't know. I would sure like to know if any of those kids, or how many, read them tracts and got saved. I mean, they all were just, you know, you could tell this like a deer caught in the headlights. They had never seen anything like this. And what is this? And I said, it's a gospel tract. Tell you how to get to heaven when you die. But when we do these things and we preach to these people, when God opens the door, we deliver our soul. Preaching will bring comfort to those that mourn, give beauty for ashes, give the oil of joy for mourning. Listen, there's a lot of people that need the oil of joy for mourning. Give them the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, there's a lot of people that they're carrying a heavy load. There's folks sitting in this room right now. Tonight, you're carrying a heavy load, and the Lord wants to take that load and give you this garment of praise. The purpose of preaching is to save the lost. It's to encourage the saints to do great things for God. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? You know, I'm 69 years old. Well, I plan the rest of my life. I want to serve the Lord. I want to die on the battlefield. I mean, I want to die giving out gospel tracts, telling someone how to be saved, preaching in a church somewhere, helping someone. You know, I help somebody. You've only got one life, and that life is very quickly getting away from all of us. You know, it wasn't too many years back. I was a little kid at home waiting on Santa Claus to come. That's all I knew about Christmas. But I was just a little kid. And then I became a teenager, and then here I am 69 years old. But preaching is to help us. You know, and a lot of times people get to be my age, and they just feel like, I'm done. I can't do no more. I can't do what I used to do. My sister-in-law keeps telling me, Stan, you need to, you and Betty need to sit on the porch and watch the world go by. get you a couple of rocking chairs, which we've got a couple, I think. And but it's too cold to sit on the porch. And you would sit there for a long time if you sat up there very long. Isaiah 61:4, and they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Listen, we got a lot of work to do on all the generations that are around us. I mean, a lot of work. So we don't have time to just sit down and quit. We've got to keep going for God. Preaching has purpose. Preaching is done by many different preachers. We had a guy here years ago, Gordy Geisinger. And Gordy, maybe that was Brother Baker that knew him. I can't remember how we got connected with him. But he came. He used to come to your house. So it was Sylvia's dad that brought him, or he introduced us to him. But Gordy had this big military coat, and they have big pockets, but he sewed big pockets on top of the little ones that the military puts on. And he would load that coat with gospel tracts. And he retired from the military, so he'd go out to the base and say, I want to get a hop. And they said, where do you want to go? He said, I don't know, where are you going? And they said, well, we got to run to Korea today. He said, I'll go to Korea. So he'd get on the plane, go to Korea, and pass out all those tracts, and then he'd come back. And he'd get some more, and he'd go get a hop somewhere else. But Gordy said these tracts, he said, these are little preachers. He said, these will be preaching when you're dead and gone. I'm dead and gone. He said, these little preachers. And he would take them out some places. He'd put them in the hollow of a tree. He said, these are for the tribulation saints. I mean, he'd hide them different places, some just for the tribulation saints. And he would take some that he wouldn't want to name a church name on it, because he knew that the church would be in bad trouble where he was going to put them. But he was, you know, he said, they're little preachers. And you think about it, they are. And they will preach. You know, when I'm dead and gone, people will still be able to pick up the mercenary missionary tract and get saved. The Vietnam vets will never forget the... you know, if all of us die, and all the tracts that we've been passing out and left, and all the things, tracts, Bibles, whatever left behind, you're going to keep preaching. You're going to continue to preach. But preaching is done in many different, by many different preachers. Preachers come in many sizes and forms. Pastors, evangelists, missionaries, lay preachers. That we're all, if you're saved tonight, you're supposed to be preaching. You're supposed to be preaching the gospel. And but all preachers bring a very important message. You know, a lot of times we would have the little kids preach here. And a lot of times on New Year's, whenever we had the men preach, the little kids would get up. Listen, those little kids get up might be preaching just what you need to hear. You're getting ready to die, and you're not saved. And that's little kids trying to tell you how to be saved. So preaching is something you need to pay close attention to, whoever it is. It makes no difference. The danger we face is we base the message on personality, deliverance, and not on thus saith the Lord. Well, I like this preacher. He hacks. Everything he said. And every time he hacks, I wake up. But he hacks so much. You know, those hackers, you just... And then others say, I stay awake because it makes me nervous. It makes my throat sore. And some of the preachers, you know, down south, they start unbuttoning their tie, and then you know it's coming. And before you know it, they're in a sweat. And, yeah, when Jim White was done preaching, I mean, his shirt tails out, he's sweating. You know, I mean, his tie's crooked. He looks like he, you know, went through a tornado. But people, you wouldn't sleep when Jim White was preaching. And he was hilarious. He wrote a book. Funniest things ever happened to Jim White. And a lot of funny things happened to him. But, you know, or a lot of people, they don't like that stuff, that yelling, screaming, hooping and hollering, but they like the deep, deep words. Danny Stone something. He had this deep voice, spoke at the men's retreat. And I mean, a lot of people just, whoa. There was a fellow that my son-in-law's brother, Mike, went to hear this guy. And he told me, he said, Brother Stan, said, he's doctrinally off, man, but he's a good preacher. He preaches, I'm telling you, he's the greatest preacher you ever hear. Well, listen, if he's doctrinally off, he's not a good preacher. But I understood what he was saying.
And a lot of times, if it's not my style, you know, I grew up from the South, and I like the South, and if a preacher's not from the South, I don't get a whole lot out of it. You know, I can't stand to hear Yankees talk. And then you got the Yankee crowd, why is he yelling? Why is he carrying on? I had a fellow in the church here said, why is he standing on the pew? And Larry Brown was preaching. One of the men got upset with him and said, my mama would beat me to inch of my life if I'd stand on the furniture. But that's the way they do it down South. And thank God he didn't start jumping. They do that too. But anyway, when we base the message on the personality or the way it's delivered, and I just really like that. Well, you know, everyone likes that. There are different preachers that everybody likes. But it's not, we need to, preaching is not about the man, it's about the message. Now, any preacher, you just got to do the best you can, and God will take care of the results, and don't fret about the results. But the danger is when we start basing things on personality, deliverance. Where did he go to school? Can I really trust him? Listen, and then there's the preaching that we hear every day. You know, we're preached at every day, and we don't even know it. When I, back in October, I flew to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I got the truck, and I rented a U-Haul trailer, and I put the Mustang on the trailer and took it back to West Virginia. Well, for 3 or 4 days, I'm just driving. There's no one with me. Occasionally Betty would call me, or I'd call her and let her know everything's okay, and we'd talk for a little bit and then hang up, and, you know, maybe once in a while somebody called, but for the most part, there's no one in the truck but me and the Lord. So I'm listening to a lot of music. And driving down the road, and I heard this song, God Has Not Changed. It says, in the perilous time we live in, revival has not come. We wonder just what tomorrow holds. Will our children know the freedoms that you and I have known? Or will sin in our country take its toll? It's not because God left us. It's because we refuse to heed the mighty counsel of His Word. For His hand sustained the universe, and forever He will reign. He is God. He has not changed. And I thought, amen. Amen. There's victory in His Word. Our praise He does deserve. There is glory in the power of His might. And in the midst of the battle, when it seems all hope is gone, He is God. He has not changed. And I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking, Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And that's just what these guys singing about. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me, this music is preaching to me. I mean, I'm hearing some doctrinal truth. This is why it's so important that you listen to good music. You know, you listen to the music sang in the church. There was one song called Never the Same. And it was about this guy that he got saved. And when he met Jesus, when he got saved, he accepted Christ into his life. He said, I've never been the same. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I thought, that's good preaching. And it is. And all of a sudden, I realized I heard that Moffat lady singing, "Give me a vision." And I'm thinking, this is what I need. I need a vision. I need to see the world the way Christ does. And Patty Moffat is singing on her tape, and I thought, man, she's preaching to me now. But she wasn't there, so I guess it's okay. He lifted me. That's one of my favorite songs. In loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. From the depths of sin and shame, through grace He lifted me. From sinking sand He lifted me with tender hands. He lifted me from the shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise His name. He lifted me. Listen, every time I hear that song, my mind goes right back to where God found me. And I hope I never forget where I was when God found me. I hope I never forget what I was then and what I am now. What I had then, and I mean, I'm ready to lose my wife and my two daughters. Pastor Josh wasn't even born yet. But I, you know, I don't ever want to forget where God brought me from. Because when I forget where God brought me from, now all of a sudden maybe I think I'm a little too good to go to someone else. I saw a drunk guy over at the Sears Mall. We were over there a while ago, and I thought, oh, great, you know, he's gonna be, you know, slobbering all over everything, and you know, and then but then I washed my hands and I wiped my hands off and I looked at that guy. He's just a little man, little native guy, and I thought, you know, but for the grace of God, that'd be Stan Roach. I said, buddy, I got something I want to give you. I give him one of his little creatures. I said, God loves you. And listen, we need to you think about what you're listening every day. And so much of the time, we're like the rest of the world. We're just kind of brain dead to what's going on around us. But good music, listen, you need to keep good music around you. I heard Mrs. Moffat singing the altar. The service is nearing an end, the choir singing just as I am. And as the old song is played, people at the altar are kneeling down to pray. Some are finding mercy, forgiveness for their sin. Some are fighting battles that are struggling within. The time has come to give in to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. That's what the altar is for. That's good preaching. That's good preaching. The old account was settled. It was a time on earth. Listen, I wasn't a Christian. But today my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I was bound in my sin. Sin was squeezing the life out of me. I didn't know where to turn. And then someone told me about Jesus. Somebody told me about this old book. They pointed me to Christ. And when I got saved, everything changed. I mean, the lights came on. And when the lights came on, and nobody can turn them off now. You know, people used to say, you'll get over it. You'll get over it. It'll wear off. It's going to become old. Well, I became old, but not, glory to God, the older I get, the better it gets. I mean, the better it gets. I don't want to go back. I remember where I was. I remember what I was. I remember the depths of depravity that I was living in. I was a devil. I was full of the devil. And Jesus Christ saved my wretched, unworthy soul. And I don't ever want to forget that. Preaching has a purpose. And preaching is done by many, many different kinds of preachers. Like I say, the Lord, a lot of times I believe you're listening to a song, and you'll find the Lord speaking to your heart. There's something in this song. Have you ever come to church and there was a song that you walked in the door and all of a sudden it's just like someone slapped you in the face with this song? How can I sing this? Good night. It just brings such conviction because of what's going on in your life. Listen, that's God's trying to get a hold of you, and music prepares for the preaching. But at the same time, the music, these songs, listen, the songs that we sing here, I mean, they preach to you. I mean, there is more doctrine in the song service in this church than I ever heard in my life. I mean, I heard some of the older songs growing up, but it's good doctrine. But I never heard preaching. In the Methodist church, the preacher came every fifth week. So every fifth week, we didn't stay for church. Everybody went home. On my way back to West Virginia, I'm listening to this music, and I'm talking to the Lord, and I'm praying. And I said, Lord, you know, and it was a almost a black, dreary. The sky was black and gray, black and dark gray, a little white gray, lighter gray here and there, but just like. No good. I mean, there's nothing good about this day, this weather, this, you know. And I'm whining to the Lord about Hillary Clinton's going to become the president, and you know, and just the wickedness and the sodomites are marching, and God, you know, please come back and take us out of this. And I was close to hearing. It's like the Spirit of God said, "You're the light of the world." And almost at the same instant that this comes into my mind, there, I think it was Matthew 5:4, I believe, somewhere in there. But yeah, 5:14, "You're the light of the world." And at the same instant that happened, this black sky with all the gray, all of a sudden, these beams of light penetrates through those clouds and lights up this valley. I had to pull the truck over and stop. I was crying. And at the same time, I'm thinking, Stan Roach, you're the light of the world. Why don't you quit complaining and let your light shine before men that they can see Christ in you? And I mean, when that light broke through them clouds, I just thought, glory to God. Listen, we serve a great God. And this thing of preaching, I thank God for Pastor McGovern. And he's my pastor. And he's a good one. He's a great pastor. And I thank God for his preaching. And I thank God for you men in this church that do the preaching. Some of the best services we've ever had on New Year's has been by you fellas. And I'm so thankful that God has raised up such a group of preachers. And that's why the 2-4 is going so good. That's why the soul winning and everything's working good. Because we've got preachers. We've got people that love preaching. Preaching doesn't stop when we leave the church house. We need preaching every day. Again, that's why good music is so important. Because God will do a lot of preaching to you through the music. I say, the Lord spoke to my heart so many times on that 3 or 4 days in the truck. Just riding, praying, talking to the Lord, and the Lord talking to me. And I'm hearing things, being reminded of things through the music and whatever. God is so good. And listen, I love to have those times when I just get alone with God. Just me and God. And when it's for 2 or 3 days, you start getting real close. It's like there's nobody else to talk to. So, I mean, you're going to pray without ceasing. Well, Lord, where do you want to stop now? You know? Preaching. We need it. Father, I ask you to bless now the invitation. I pray, Lord, you'd have your will and way. Meet every need, I pray, in Jesus' name.